the police! Fuck the police! They took all my shit! Is he not the swoop man? Fuck the police! We'll be right back.
are disguised as officers of peace.
Now, when you saw it was just a wallet, what, if anything, did you say or do?
I said, where's the gun? Where's the gun?
Was any of your brother officers there with you?
I'm not sure. I believe it might have been Kenny, but I'm not sure at that point.
Now, after you examined the wallet, what, if anything, did you do with the wallet?
At that point, when I realized it was not a weapon, I dropped it from my hand, started looking around to see if where the weapon was. I went on from his right side. I crossed over closer to the rear door, and I did a quick search of the area for the firearm.
And did you find one?
No.
What did you next do?
I think I said something like, I seen muzzle flash. I seen the muzzle flash. At that point, the individual was still moving on the floor. And he was breathing. Keep breathing. I can hear Kenny Boss on the radio calling for an ambulance. So I knew an ambulance was en route. There came a point where the individual stopped breathing. He stopped moving. At that point, holding his hands. Don't keep breathing. I went to check his vitals. I was going to give him CPR. Put my hands on his chest. I don't know if I pumped once. I don't even know if I pumped a lot. I put my hands in the vicinity of his chest. And I said, oh, God, let's see how bad it is. If I start pumping on his chest, maybe I'm going to make it worse. At that point, I decided to lift up his shirt and to see if he was shot in the abdomen or just shot. I lifted up the shirt a few inches, and I observed two bullet holes. Lower midsection. So, oh my God. I just held him his hand. I rubbed his face. Please.
You believe that's the poster that you had in the car that night?
This is probably one. This is possibly one that was up in the front, and I had other ones in the back.
Is that the one related to the rapist, the serial rapist?
This is one of at least two, if not three, composite sketches that were issued to the street crime unit in regards to this rape pattern.
Okay. Isn't it fair to say that Mr. Diallo did not look at all like these serial rapists? Other than he was a male black, approximately 130 to 150 pounds.
On this particular photograph of the one that you handed me, there is a minimal resemblance to Mr. Diallo.
Matter of fact, that would fit the description of numerous young males in the 4-3 precinct. Is that correct?
That I couldn't say.
You couldn't say that there are numerous young male blacks in the 4-3 precinct that would fit that description, 5'6 to 5'8, 130, 150 pounds?
I'm sure there are.
By the way, did you meet up with any supervisors that night?
The only supervisor that we arranged that evening was at muster, which was Lieutenant Pucci.
So you didn't see Lieutenant Cantwell during the course of the night?
No.
You didn't see Sergeant Patelli during the course of the night?
No.
Wasn't Sergeant Patelli at the Boynton Avenue job?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. My record, yes. Sergeant Patelli was at the Boynton Avenue job. Possibly one of the other supervisors that I didn't recognize or don't recall seeing.
You're saying the man was looking up and down the street, is that correct?
Yes.
And looking up and down the street isn't a crime, is it, officer?
Absolutely not.
Do you know of any people that come home from a hard day's work and stay out in front of their house or on their porches and look up and down the block to see what's going on? Do you, sir?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, can we have a read back?
Your house is on ground of a road. It's irrelevant.
Sustained. Well, would you agree that Mr. Diallo was situated in the position where there was more light than where you and Officer McMillan were standing?
I'd say that's fair, yeah.
That's fair?
Sure.
You're out in the dark, right?
There are street lamps that are out in the street.
Right. Aside from the street lamps, you're out on the street in whatever light's on the street.
Sure. And you had the light from 1159 glaring out the door to it.
And Mr. Diallo is by the vestibule wherein there is a light. Is that fair to say?
Well, like I said before, sir, the lighting conditions in this picture, as far as I recollect, are not properly depicted, and that the outside light, I'm almost positive, was off, and if there was an inside light on, it was very dim.
Were you able to make out Mr. Diallo's features from where you were standing and looking in?
At that point, it only looked like a male, which I couldn't tell whether it was Hispanic or black, wearing dark clothing and some kind of hat, wool hat.
Cop wanted me to move. You know, they tell us that this is their corner. You know, but I grew up here. I went to school here. You know, it's not your corner. You know, you out here to solve crimes, like catch people breaking the law. It's not your corner. You know, you can't tell me to move, you know, and then write me a summons when I don't move. You know, and the judge felt the same way. The judge told him he was stupid. and threw it out. The cops really can just do what they want, really.
There were thousands of cops tonight in all forms, like biking, walking in the demo, outside the demo. It's intimidation practices, right, to try to intimidate people in the demo, outside the demo, near or far, to intimidate basically anyone that's willing to say that cops are brutalizing people, and then in revenge they're trying to repress that message to get out. To isolate us, because that's what happened, really. They isolate people, and then once they're alone, if people didn't come around us, then we would have been really scared and isolated. So it's also good when we see things like that happen to go close and around and support the people.
He was 19 years old when he was shot and murdered in this past January by a police officer.
And took his life, so we made it just to wake up everybody, let them know that you don't got to be bad to get in trouble by the police. You could be a good kid and still get offended and hurt and murdered by the police.
And we saw seeing these cops everywhere. They was like invading army on the streets.
Right.
You know, and just violating everybody's rights. There was a party in the building. I guess he didn't want to go down the stairs and go through the door and back upstairs, so he went across the roof. You know, that's something people do in the hood all the time, going across the roof. But I guess the cops was patrolling or whatever, and I guess he was scared, you know, because he's a 12-year veteran and he's, you know, he has to be some kind of coward, because if I'm a veteran doing something for 12 years, I'm pretty much going to be in control. You know?
Right.
And he just blew a hole in Timothy's chest.
For no reason.
Because he was startled.
There has been no indictment for Officer Nery, who police, as far as the police commissioner was concerned, right after the shooting, he said that the shooting was unjustified, but it's been ruled to have been an accident, and he is continuing to serve as a officer.
Paid officer.
As a paid officer. Right. According to the October 22nd Coalition in 2003, 61 murders have been committed by the police since September 11th, 2001, in New York and New Jersey alone. Young people are harassed and shot by the cops on a regular basis.
You know, everybody shouldn't be reluctant to stop the police from doing something, because, you know, cops out here, they're going to do whatever they got to do anyway.
Off the beat, pop is singing in the street, can't even sleep. Look, banging on my door, wanna take me away cause I broke the law. What about the time they broke my cousin's jaw? Wanna keep me silent, but I know what I saw.
I don't care if we fill the jails, arrest anyone, any rank.
We will make them see their injustice, and it will hurt, as all fighting hurts. But we cannot lose. We cannot. They may torture my body, break my bones, even kill me. Then they will have my dead body. Not my obedience. I don't care if we do the jails. Let us take a solemn oath that, come what may, we will not submit to this law.
The next generation, and you get the high five that the police station.
So you wanna wear blue and pray on the people, come loose the constitution, or all men so equal. Beat down the poor and the working class core. You're a class grade among the fucking rich man's war.
Cause there's a thin blue line between the love and the hate. If you don't choose to cross it, you're a Nazi with a snake. You're injustice, for precious, the precious to few. So you wanna be a killer for the red, white, and blue.
We don't wish you a crown, we throw you down. Nothing to protect when you give them the sex. You're your own damn brother, you got no respect. From the killer won't stop when you become a god. One red is not a red, it ain't gonna stop. Bitching up the mask on the way to doing reasons. I'm just gonna let the rest of the rest of what you're gonna tell. You got a vision from society and it's a will.
Even the summer's not gonna make this situation light.
You got me on one ride and I want when to take away the rocks and the vision of fight.
Oh, screening in the door shop. You sickening behavior regulates society. You muster all the sickness and hatred
so
inside
you
of me.
Wear blue. Well, you're just a type. Got a chip on your shoulder and an itch for a gripe. Standing on a raft in an ocean of blood, but you're doing the killing and you got your gun.
How can we tolerate this man? A piece of paper, make a cop. Never cycle to his death, you in the shower.
Chucky V, Morty G, LOC, never stop.
And you just to be sweet if you wanna be a cop.
This is green and the sky is blue. Well, that's about right, cause we're below you. You come with extra attitude when you call down my block. So you wanna be a cop? Drop dead and matter and it ain't gonna stop. If you come to my mother, we can do it. You gotta pick up from society and it's your will.
Even if it's not my son, you make this situation live.
You got the young bar and then I wanna when you take away your arms and it's your
is to provoke response, and we will continue to provoke until they respond or they change the law.
Week of November 18th, 2004. Grand jury has indicted a Blanchester, Ohio police officer on multiple counts of rape, sexual battery, and gross sexual misconduct. Officer Bart Browning victimized a woman from November 2001 to May 2004. Browning has been on paid leave for 2 months, but has recently been placed on unpaid leave. Browning has not been arrested as of yet. A Chicago police officer pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to charges that he sexually assaulted a woman in her home this past March while he was on duty. Officer John Herman is charged with multiple counts of aggravated sexual assault, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated unlawful restraint, and official misconduct. Herman is currently free on a $275,000 bond. The indictment alleges that Herman asked the woman for identification, then placed her in his squad car and drove her to her residence. Upon arriving, the officer followed the woman into her home and then into her bedroom, locking the door behind him. Armed with two guns, the officer then ordered the woman to disrobe and took off his own clothes. He then assaulted her with his nightstick and forced the woman to perform a sex act on him. He then forced the woman to have intercourse with him. Herman was arrested after the woman identified him in a police lineup. He's been suspended without pay, and the department has initiated proceedings to fire him. A local television news report from Houston this week revealed rampant abuse by some police officers who have been spending their paid hours avoiding their duties. In one instance, an officer was observed by journalists sitting in his car doing nothing for 40 minutes. He was subsequently observed in his squad car reading a book for almost 2 hours by undercover police investigators. This past May, the same television station aired a report which showed officers neglecting their duty. The police chief made statements at the time that such misconduct would no longer be tolerated. But as the new report shows, very little has changed. Reporters observed one officer taking 45-minute smoke breaks hidden outside a local office building. One officer, Scott Arnold, was observed daily, spending as much as an hour at the beginning of his shift in his own home. Another officer was seen on 16 different occasions taking hour-long breaks at the beginning of his shift. On two occasions, reporters found official documents stating that he was on police business while he was actually doing nothing. This weekend, a police officer in El Mirage, Arizona, resigned because of an investigation into an alleged incident of sexual misconduct. Officer Ricardo Ricardez resigned immediately when told of the investigation during an interview. The allegations of sexual misconduct against the 6-year police veteran came from a fellow city employee. State investigators are looking into two cases involving the St. George, South Carolina Police Department. State and local officials have confirmed that one investigation is looking into the disappearance of funds from city coffers, and the other involves allegations of misconduct against members of the police department. Details are sketchy currently, but it is expected that we'll know more when the investigations are complete. The city of Glendale, California, and its former lawyers have agreed to pay a settlement of $4 million to three female police officers who endured years of sexual harassment, discrimination, and retaliation on the job. The settlement was reached because of fears that the officers might win more money on an appeal of the decision. The officers had also filed a suit alleging defamation of character by city lawyers because of comments they made outside the courtroom. The city has already spent more than $2 million defending themselves from the lawsuit. A judge in Calgary, Alberta, is calling the actions of police excessive after a man was beaten over a parking infraction. Calgary police pulled the man from his car by his hair and struck him at least 26 times. The man was subsequently found to be not guilty of the parking infraction. The judge also said that the arrest should never have been made in the first place. Constable William Urquhart is identified as the officer who pulled the man from his vehicle. Although the man never filed a formal complaint, he is considering a lawsuit. There have been calls for an inquiry into the affair and calls for a new system of police oversight and thorough investigations into alleged officer misconduct. A soldier has received a judgment of $2.2 million in his brutality lawsuit against police in Oak Grove, Kentucky. The soldier was rushing his sick child to the hospital on October 21, 2000, when he was pulled over by two officers who ordered him out of his car at gunpoint, pushed him to the ground, injured his wrists, and stomped on his neck. His injuries were so severe that he was forced into a medical discharge from the Army 2 years later. A jury found that officers Jason Palfrey and Jeff Ford used excessive force during the arrest. The soldier turned down a previous settlement offer of $250,000. A police taser killing of a mentally ill man in Sacramento, California this week has striking similarities to a case in the same city last year. In both cases, police shocked their victims twice with the stun guns, once at a distance and once at close range. In both cases, the men were taking medication for a mental illness. In both cases, the men were pronounced dead at hospital shortly after police called for medical help. Both men are now on a growing list of people who have been killed by supposedly non-lethal weapons. Recent reports suggest that there is a need to take a closer look at the effects of stun guns on people taking prescription and other drugs. Since 2001, there have been 76 deaths in the United States and Canada that have been linked to the use of stun guns. Amnesty International has been compiling data for a report on taser use in the United States to be released on November 30th. This week, there are reports from Miami that police used a stun gun on a 6-year-old boy in the principal's office of the child's school. The child was given a 50,000-volt shock on October 20th after he broke a picture frame in the principal's office, cutting himself and prompting her to call police for help. The suspended police chief in Sadieville, Kentucky, will be tried for driving under the influence, reckless driving, and resisting arrest starting on January 25th. Chief Mike Mizell pleaded not guilty to the charges at his arraignment on Friday. He was suspended with pay pending resolution of the charges, but on Thursday was suspended without pay because he failed to keep up with paperwork properly prior to his suspension. Three police officers in East Orange, New Jersey, have been suspended after a drug suspect's claims of excessive use of force. Police officials have acknowledged the suspensions but refused to identify the officers involved. A man claims he was injured by police during his arrest on November 3rd and then subsequently beaten by officers at a police station. The man was taken to a hospital to have his injuries treated. On Friday, two men arrested by police in Chattanooga, Tennessee in September had most of their charges dropped. Their arrest has been the subject of an internal police investigation into the excessive use of force used by officers, which was caught on videotape. The men were beaten following a traffic stop. The men have filed a lawsuit in a federal court. A woman in Brownsville, Texas, has filed a lawsuit alleging police brutality and false arrest. The lawsuit states that Officer Romaldo Rodriguez was working at a local nightclub as a security guard when he asked the woman and her friends to leave. Shortly after leaving, they returned to retrieve a credit card that was left behind. The woman got into an argument with Rodriguez. When she tried to leave, the officer slammed her against a police squad car and arrested her for assaulting a police officer. That charge was dropped last week, shortly after the woman's lawsuit was filed. The police chief in Mount Olive, North Carolina, says that he's received no complaints of officers stealing money from Latino drivers during routine traffic stops. Some Latino motorists made complaints to various community organizations, which eventually led to an investigation by state authorities. One officer took $300 from an undercover officer during the investigation. Some drivers are also complaining of having their vehicles searched without permission or a warrant. So far, three officers have been suspended for misconduct, but as of yet, none have been charged criminally. A former Whitehall, Wisconsin police officer who pleaded guilty last week was this week sentenced for forcing a 14-year-old to perform a sex act in his squad car in 1996. Officer Daniel Wineski was sentenced to 7 years in prison for sexual assault and official misconduct, which was the maximum sentence allowed. In her impact statement, the officer's victim revealed that he had attempted to silence her by threatening to harm her parents and threatening to have her removed from her parents' custody if she ever told. During his trial, it was alleged that Wineski had used his position as a police officer to gain sexual favors from women on many occasions. In one case, he offered to throw out a citation if a woman had sex with him. She refused and was ticketed. It's also alleged that Wineski had sex with a woman in a police interrogation room and frequently spied on women and young girls from his squad car with binoculars. Wineski was also accused of fondling women after he had placed them in handcuffs. A politically connected East St. Louis police officer has attempted to get evidence of a crime she committed thrown out of court. Officer Danielle Moore is accused of lying to Illinois State Police about the identity of her companion on September 1, 2003. The attempt failed. Moore is the daughter of a member of the local Board of Trustees. She was suspended after she was charged with official misconduct, but her current status with the East St. Louis Police Department is unclear. State police who arrested a news photographer in Durham, New Hampshire, have handed the case over to local police. The photographer was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct on October 28th after he took pictures of Officer Mark Hall's police dog biting a 20-year-old student during celebrations of the Red Sox World Series victory. The victim of the police dog was unable to file a complaint because Officer Hall refused to identify himself after the attack, as required by law. Police have not been forthcoming about whether use of force reports were filed after the incident as required. Police will also not say if proper procedure was followed by the officer who was handling the dog. The police chief in Maple Park, Illinois, has been unsuccessful in his bid to have illegal gambling charges dismissed. Chief Chester Morris was arrested along with 12 others in connection with illegal gambling at a local tavern last May. The gambling had been the focus of an undercover investigation by state authorities. Morris is charged with official misconduct and conspiracy. Two Miami police officers who participated in cover-ups of questionable police shootings were freed this week after they testified against 11 of their fellow officers. The officers were sentenced to probation and community service after they testified in cases of four unarmed men who were killed by police between 1995 and 1997. In all cases, police planted weapons on the dead men to cover up the fact that they were unarmed when they were killed by the police. The victims ranged from petty criminals to a homeless man. The other officers sentenced thus far have received sentences of between 13 and 37 months in prison for the murders. This week, the police fatally shot people in the following cities: Roanoke, Virginia; Los Angeles; Salt Lake City, Utah; Ashland, Kentucky; Columbus, Ohio; and Kenosha, Wisconsin. No officers have been charged in any of the killings.
Attention! I just wanna be rejected, I just According to eyewitness accounts, at least 20 NYPD vehicles converged on the office, claiming they were called in because of an open container violation. Partygoers responding to the initial police presence were soon overpowered, and according to onlookers, the police unleashed a flurry of crowd control tactics, including indiscriminate use of chemical agents and unrestrained use of force. When the night was over, many attendees registered blunt trauma injuries, lacerations, contusions, and chemical reactions to the pepper spray used by the police officers.
All hell broke loose. I mean, like, officers came to the door, started asking questions, and became really, really abusive. One of my co-defendants, you know, had a camera and was just, like, observing what was happening and how the officers were being very, very aggressive with people in the party. And they grabbed him, threw him, slammed him on the car, you know. People were asking questions like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And before we knew it, there were like all these police cars on the street. We were being pepper sprayed. You know, people were being hit with batons, you know, being grabbed, you know, thrown to the ground. It was just like, it became very, very chaotic. I was grabbed from behind. I fell to my knees. I don't know how many officers were over me, but I was being hit with batons in my back and in my head. They put cuffs on me and they put me in a police car. And the fact that, like, you know, even though it was just the eight of us who were arrested, there were others at the party who were also assaulted, you know, that the police were completely out of control, and this was so wrong.
I can say with absolute clarity that this happens all the time in communities of color, and that we are subjected to this all the time as organizers, as activists, and people of color, queer people, trans people, youth, women. But, you know, obviously things are escalating because of the political climate in this country right now. There's not a whole lot of, you know, the idea coming from the Bush administration and even local police departments is that we don't have to put up with you. You know, we don't have to put up with your demonstrations and your civil liberties. So they're basically, you know, sort of cracking down.
Protests in New York have been met with increased police surveillance of those openly dissenting against U.S. and local government policies, especially in relation to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And after the February 15th protest prior to the invasion, the NYPD was accused of violating the Hanshoe Agreement. Civil rights advocates charged the NYPD with compiling political dossiers on activists the likes of which had not been seen since the infamous Red Squad was cracking down on political organizations in New York in the 1960s.
I was also amazed that because I had paper and pen out and I was trying to get badge numbers down of the people who were hitting me across my head and then also that were macing people. And so when I tried to write down that was knocked down from my hands and mace was thrown in my eyes.
Activists need to be more vigilant about the increased police efforts to track and surveil organizers.
Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman coming with his gun. Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman's always on the run. Police, police.
See the look in my eyes when you beat me. I guess you wanna see the look in my eyes when you beat me.
makes you think that you're crunching hits can defeat me. Well, bring on dogs and artillery. You can kill a man, but not his ideas. Never care about a little man, yeah. That's why we fight the power every shot that we get. Defenders of the power structure. Justified violence, black guy fractured. Hate a man in a uniform.
Video surveillance, strip searches, political activity by officers. Toronto seems to be in a situation where the police force has not been particularly well governed for the last decade, and it's doing many things that people are very unhappy about. Racial profiling. There have been many, many complaints that racial profiling occurs by the Toronto Police, and the Toronto Star, which is our leading newspaper in Toronto, actually did a study on it 2 years ago and showed conclusively that the data indicated that racial profiling was a fact of life. Strip searches. There was a very strong decision out of the Supreme Court of Canada in 2001 indicating that strip searches should only occur in extraordinary situations, but they continue in Toronto to be almost ordinary. About a third of the people who get arrested seem to be strip searched. There's actually hostility now between the police force and City Hall, so the way that police act in demonstrations, that they aren't supporting people's attempt to try and express opinion, but they seem actively to be trying to suppress it. And there was a demonstration in 2001 in Toronto when the police decided to actually arrest people before the demonstration began, sort of in a preventative kind of fashion. And they arrested four young people. One was 14, one was 15. I think the other two were over 16 years of age. And they put them in a paddy wagon, and they locked them there for 9 hours. They were all handcuffed, handcuffs behind their back, and all of them were kept in that position, except for one. One person, his arms went into spasm because of the way he was handcuffed, and so they re-handcuffed him with his hands in front. But they were kept in that for 9 hours, and then after the demonstration was over, they were released. No charges or anything like that. They laid a complaint, and the complaint was processed by the Toronto Police Force. We have a complaint system in Ontario where the police investigate themselves. And so the police investigated themselves about this complaint and concluded that the complaint was not substantiated, at which point the four complainants then appealed that matter to the Ontario Civilian Commission on Police Services, which is a provincial body, OCOPS as it's called. OCOPS looked at the matter and decided to try and get the parties together to try and talk about a solution to the problem. And in August, they actually came out with a decision where the police apologized for what was done. The police actually documented the fact that they had arrested these people, kept them in a paddy wagon for 9 hours, no washroom facilities or anything like that, and at least one of the people had to pee on the floor of the paddy wagon. And police admitted that they finally just released these people without charge and so forth. But at the end of the day, they apologized. Now, the police also said that they've brought in what they call a mass arrest policy in situations like this. And unfortunately, the policy is not made public. The police will not release it. They say it's an operational policy, and therefore it can't be made public. But it seems to say that if the police do this preventative arrest in the future, then they'll have to have washroom facilities and they'll have to have sort of supervise the people that they arrest. I personally believe that the police don't have the right to arrest people on a preventative basis. You can't go out and arrest people because you think they're going to do something. That's not a valid reason for arrest, but it looks like the mass arrest policy might do that. So it's very unusual to get such a clear apology and an admission that they did something wrong. But whether that means that this won't happen in the future, I frankly don't know. Mm-hmm. I believe that if they do have a mass arrest policy along the lines I've indicated, that is that they will arrest people on a preventative basis, but they'll give them washroom facilities. I don't think that's good enough because I don't believe that they should be arresting people on a preventative basis. You only arrest people when they've committed a crime or are just about to commit a crime. You don't arrest people because they're going to be part of a demonstration. One of the changes that has to be made in Toronto is that the operational policies have to be made public so we know what they are. The idea that the police are doing things according to policies that we can't get hold of doesn't make any sense. We found that in many cases the police are very, very heavy-handed. At this particular demonstration, the complaint mentioned, the apology mentions that there were 550 officers. Well, I'm not sure there were that many demonstrators. It was a relatively small demonstration, but we've often seen in terms of demonstrations in Toronto an overwhelming police presence with an overwhelmingly large array of guns, which we think is entirely inappropriate.
This next record is dedicated to some personal friends of mine, the LAPD. For every cop that has ever taken advantage of somebody, beat them down or hurt them because they got long hair, listen to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do it. For every one of those fucking police, I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot and shoot them in their motherfucking face.
Get even. Daryl Gates.
Fuck the police.
For Rodney King.
Fuck the police.
For my dead homies.
Fuck the police.
For your freedom.
Fuck the police.
Don't be a pussy.
Fuck the police.
Have some motherfucking courage.
Fuck the police.
Sing along. Tonight we get even.